Well, I'd like to continue California theme. And the theme is you have to show beautiful fruit on the front ground and snow-covered mountains in the back, just like Anil did. This is Ventura County where I work. It's a neighboring county to Los Angeles where we're currently located, about 80 miles away from here. And here's our number one crop, strawberry, and number five crop, lemons. And we grow a lot of strawberries. In fact, just little Ventura County where I work is about $500 million worth of strawberries every year. Unlike almonds or even vineyards, they're very small plants and don't compete with weeds very well. So first idea, of course, is to use plastic mulches, and those are studied on back a few years ago and looking at different colors of plastic mulch. Of course, organic weed control consists of plastic mulch and hand weeding in this scenario. And actually, all those different dark colors, red, yellow, brown, green, white on one side for cooling up the surface, and black on the other side for weed control, and black in general, give very good weed control. The exceptions were blue and clear. Apparently, blue allows enough PR to go through, obviously just as clear, to allow weed proliferation. Well, one thing that growers like is because clear mulch heats up the soil, the plants grow faster, they're more productive, the root system develops more rapidly, and so we have increases in yield. Of course, there's exceptions to every rule. Regardless what kind of plastic you use, those are polyethylene plastic types. Things like nutsedge, this is a yellow nutsedge, we also have purple nutsedge, both Cyperus esculentus and Ortundus in our county. They just go right through this plastic with very sharp tips. Well, why do we worry about it? We have obviously organic fields, but also have what we call buffer zones we cannot get to with fumigants or anything else. And so those zones become proliferation sites for nutsedge from where it spreads elsewhere. And if you don't control it, it becomes a serious pest. We have a beautiful climate, as you would see outside today, ideal for nutsedge. Well, this is a strawberry field that only had a few nutsedge plants 2 years before this picture was taken. You could probably harvest nutsedge tubers from here and make horchata, but strawberry growers don't want to hear about it. They want to control nutsedge. And this is another field. Interestingly, in clear mulch, it doesn't really go through the mulch, but it grows nicely under the mulch, creating different growth habit, just as you see here. So what you do is, obviously, irrigate it. It's already muddy. You're out in this field. You have to open the plastic and start pulling it out around the strawberry plants. It's a pretty daunting task. I mean, where do you start? I guess right here. I wouldn't want to do that. This is the same field that was hand-weeded, as you saw in the previous slide, in spring. As you just cut down through the bed, you see, obviously, it has a huge stand of nutsedge, but also a lot of tuber production. All those little white spots are tubers of yellow nutsedge been set. So we dug out some of those tubers to see how far they go. It's a very wise weed. It grows just around the drip tape right here, primarily, what supplies nutrients and water. It doesn't really want to go very far deep. So majority of tubers, up 90%, were in a 1 foot depth and competing very well with strawberry around this supplying drip tape. We had, in this case, up to 400 tubers per 1 foot of bed, which is 4 feet wide. Pretty serious. So we started working with those barriers. First, we kind of had a problem. We used just the paper itself, recycled paper, thinking it's going to be dense enough so the sharp tips would never come through. And they didn't, except the paper deteriorates with wetness and just breaks down. And so after about 2 to 3 months, the shoots come right through it. And it's a 9-month crop for us, primarily. So in this case, we're looking at the next step is looking at a variety of ways to protect it. And this is a kind of a sandwich combination of plastic will be laid under it, which we do with machine anyway. You'll put this inexpensive paper, and then you put the whole bed cover with plastic again. Look at the weed. So this protects paper from getting wet for the season. Weed barrier mat is just a landscape fabric you could get in the stores. It's available. This is the other idea is to have a paper which is resistant to water so it wouldn't break down. And this is Tyvek. It's a Tyvek home wrap. It's something that used to isolate homes from moisture and suddenly became available in Southern California in large quantities. Germination and weed control. Well, these bars look maybe cute, but each one of them is an operation of going and hand-weeding nutsedge. That's a lot of hours. and we start to germinate it in fall, immediately after making the beds. And then it kind of goes on this Christmas break here when it gets a little cooler. And then the spring cohort, so you do a lot of operations of hand weeding, and it looks kind of like this. This is fall, it just starting to go, and then, you know, strawberry actually does a decent job competing here, but there's a lot of tuber production in this bed for the next season. So at the end of the season, if you dig out normal, not such plant without any interference, it set tubers would stay in the soil for up to 3 years. They spread, they're hard to navigate where they go. We looked at this as well. This is regular plastic. But if you look at all the mulches, not only we had 100% control of the shoots, we had zero production of tubers. You may argue there's some life in this plant. Maybe this shoot will still come up if you plant it and water it and take care. But it never produced tubers, so if you continue doing this approach, you might be able to, within 2 or 3 years, get majority of the tubers germinated and being unable to photosynthesize disease. Just a little glance at strawberry yield, we didn't see any adverse effects of all these types on compared to control. However, once in a while, some of those mulches don't stretch, like barrier mat in this case. I have a small enough planting hole that the crown expansion is altered, and you can just see it here. It can be an issue for a long season like this. Another story which is related to nutsedge is wind dispersed species or weeds. Those are the ones that tend to fly around, and they always land in the planting hole, and then they'll grow, set seed very quickly, like this Senecio species, and just set them back in the planting hole, where the competition most relevant to us. Why do I talk about it? We do have, amazingly, well, our horrible land prices. We have very large areas of wind dispersed species. This is South Thistle, about 25 acres of solid South Thistle would be blown out, you know, 10, 15 miles easily. I'm talking about this because this mulch has actually helped us reduce number of weeding operations, weeding time in those planting holes. All those colorful sliced bars here are weeks of weeding of those wind dispersed species from the planting hole in this organic system. And compared to control, you know, we have 60 or 70% reduction with some of those materials. So it may be saving you one or two weeding operations for those species in addition to nutsedge. So in 2008-09, we looked at, again, the same type of barriers, plastic, paper, plastic, Tyvek, weed barrier, and sort of this pond liner style Durascreen with really thick material, which supposedly lasts for several seasons and can be reused. Just for the controversy, we threw iodomethane in there, which is not organic, but it's one of those hotly debated materials, fumigants in California. And we also had bed applied steam, and I'll show you in a second how it's done. That was with 6-inch spike injectors, and we tried to raise temperature of the soil with idea not just to kill nutsedge, but also to sterilize it from pathogens for 158F for 20 minutes. This is sort of an older application technology. We moved on with this, but this is those hoses you just lay out. They're hooked up a steam generator, and the spikes will inject steam to depth at least 10 inches, and it will just move on just like anything that moves in the soil gradually, and we'll have thermometers measuring the soil temperature in the soil as it goes. So nutsedge control, the only line that sticks out here is this one with the round circles. It's control, but everything else did really well. Steam wasn't perfect, those are those squares here. There's a little bit of germination nutsedge here towards the end of the season, but everything else worked really well. In fact, if compared to control, we had 192. There's a little higher number for steam that we would like to see. Our efficiency maybe wasn't perfect, so we need to do more work in applying steam, make sure we don't have any safe sites, escape tubers and such. So, but we're going in that direction. This is plant size. Obviously, we're interested to see how the strawberry does. What was nice to see with the steam application, the deep application, we'll see really large plants. They actually, those are the ones here, with squares, this is steam. They grew faster. They started to grow faster initially, but December were the largest plants, even larger than fumigated soil of methyl iodide, which was nice to see. Of course, we don't sterilize the soil with all those mulch types, so the plants are smaller in other treatments. This is a visual of control versus steam, much smaller plants, much more vigorous canopy. We're counting every day. Every day early in the winter is an expensive market of strawberries we're trying to get into, and so We try to get big plants early so we can harvest them and sell them for a lot of money. Duras cream, it's a nice material. I've never seen anything coming through this. In fact, even the knife, you can hardly cut a hole with a knife through this material. And that was an issue because some of the holes that had been cut were not sufficient enough for strawberries to establish. Some of the rows were fine, but occasionally it's tough. So if you're dealing with something that doesn't stretch, it's a tough material, you'll have to adjust your planting method, maybe cutting the holes differently too. Well, of course, the growers wanted to see if all this stuff is crazy or we actually can be economical. And we looked at some of the prices for these materials. The cheapest was still this plastic, paper, plastic. You pay $500 for extra strip of plastic. And the paper was, at that time, about $1,200. Well, you compare it to $65 for a hand-weeding nutsedge, which isn't very effective because you're leaving some of the tubers behind as well. So it doesn't quite look this bad. There are other materials the concept of having material which is resistant to shoot penetration and can last for 9 months, it's pretty obvious. There's other materials you can find, polycoated craft material. This is the one I find for $850 per acre. It works. In fact, one of the organic growers, he became a distributor for this paper. He has a lot of nutsedge problems, obviously, himself. And so he figured if he wouldn't sell it all, he'll have a good supply for years to come. So, in short, berries were excellent for nutsedge control. They also reduced wind-dispersed species, which are two really problematic ones that we can't control with plastic and plastic colors. They're economical if you have high nutsedge densities, which we oftentimes do, especially in organic systems. Steam, it's a very good system. It disinfects the soil. Now we have better methods to apply it, and we'll be testing those as well. It creates a sterile environment for the plant roots to grow. The plants love it. They're large. They produce a lot of fruit early. Maybe we need a little bit more work with a different nutsedge depth to make sure we get 100% killed with the steam as well. And I think that's briefly a nutsedge story from Ventura County. It's time for questions.
Yeah, and first, is our last speaker here? Yeah, I think we have lots of time for questions. I don't think our last speaker is
okay.
Here, so.
Maybe we should get other speakers to come in front. And
yeah, I think we'll start. Why don't we start okay. Ask
yes.
Some questions?
Does the steaming treatment have any effect on verticillium
wilt? Verticillium wilt, we haven't checked specifically. We're looking at two new pathogens of soil for the strawberry, Macrophomina fusariana, charcoal rot, and Fusarium oxysporum, Fusarium wilt, which are just really two big issues for us now. We're looking at a combination of steam by itself, steam and solar, with the idea to enhance, you don't have to bring temperature as much as with generators, save energy, and also looking at high glucosinolate materials, seed meals, in combination with steam to activate maybe somewhat. So it's happening right now. So we'll find out, at least for those two soil-borne pathogens. Verticillium wilt we haven't looked at. We have looked at some other technologies for verticillium wilt, which are organic, but that's a separate story. We could talk about it later. Eric?
When you put the plastic on, is one of the reasons that the nutsedge comes through it because it's so tightly stretched?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why does it come through? It's a pretty thin plastic because it's the cheapest plastic you could afford,
yeah.
And it is tight. And the idea is to, when they secure it, it's a 300 feet long bed. They will try to stretch it with a machine so it lays nicely. It doesn't provide environments for the water to accumulate during the rains. It's smooth, so there's less potential for fruit rot and other problems. So it's really tight, yeah. Does it come through loose plastic? Probably so. They're pretty sharp shoots. There's enough tension to. What they do, they'll elevate the plastic a little bit, and they just kind of nails right through it. And they're really good in this. And this, I just talked about yellow nuts. We're working with purple nuts such as well, which is a much more horrific weed.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Any yes?
The other question is I understand that it's a hydrothermic process. In other words, you put the plastic, then you irrigate it, and get a lot of heat generated in summer that kills the weed. Purpose of your plastic?
Actually, the purpose of plastic is different. It's to keep the bed together, to minimize contact or prevent contact between the fruit and the soil. So it has different purposes.
So it's not solarization?
Solarization is being done too. Yeah, so oftentimes they'll be used. They use solar plots, which doesn't fog, and regular clear mulch, and it heats up the only problem is it heats up only a few inches below plastic to sufficient depth to lethal depth to lethal temperatures. And then below this, if you have tubers, if you have a disease, mycelium or spores or anything like this, it seems to not do enough. So the idea is maybe to supplement those things.
What do you do during, I guess, with the cost of plastic, you indicated there, you can afford it under strawberry crop.
Yeah.
What do we do in the following crop when we do rotation?
There's no rotation, back to strawberry. It's the most, the land values dictate the rotations. And oftentimes organic guys will rotate to maybe a vegetable crop. But actually it's set up for some of those problems like Macrophemina fasciolina. It's a bean disease. And if you first time we found it, it's actually an organic bean field and became a strawberry field later on. But the reality is that the land is so expensive, we're trying to maximize the high value crops. And even things like lettuce are not profitable in Ventura County anymore. Eric.
What's the longevity of nutsedge tubers in the ground?
Like, you know, most of the literature says about up to 3 years. It would be nice to do multiple collections and multiple soil types and just to see how it does. Those soils are very intensively managed, obviously. And I'm just going with 3 years right now. Yeah.
Some work done by Paul Keeley, his name was, back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Worked in the Central Valley, I think, somewhere, and basically that was what he
found. Another thing that nobody's still found, at least in California, is the fertile nutsedge flowers that will produce seed, and you know, besides being tuberous, it's apparently it's possible, but we haven't seen it yet. Maybe it's happening somewhere.
Great.
All right.
Why don't we just... open it up now. I think all the speakers from post-break are here, and I know there's at least one speaker from prior to break. So if you have a question that you weren't able to ask a speaker who's still here, feel free to do it. We've got the time.